Entrepreneurship is great, but can also seem overwhelming. Wouldn't you like to know the pros, opportunities, and problems with different business and investment strategies before you jump in? Well then, welcome to Entrepreneurship Exposed.
We are back. Let's go. It is time for another episode of Entrepreneurship Exposed with your guy, Bees, where we are going to expose everything about the entrepreneurship industry, every strategy that you can get into with a twist of business acquisitions. And today we have a very interesting guest, right? Because this topic, we haven't discussed it at all on the show before. So I'm super excited to learn more and to learn more about our guests, which you guys are in a real treat for. So listen, Kimberly Laurie King, aka Kim. It's like a tongue twister. Kimberly Laurie King. Kim, there you go. Kim, how are you? And welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm great, thank you. Tell the people a little bit more about yourself.
Well, like you said, my name is Kimberly Laurie King. I go by the name Nerdy Dope Artist on social media platforms. I am basically a visual artist based in Atlanta, Georgia. I do all types of art on wood, canvases, and I've also transitioned my art to clothing as well. So definitely check out my work. I do all types of art, basically, and I'm continuing to expand my brand into anything else that requires art.
Nice. Okay, so I got so many questions already, right? First of all, we're going to start with the Nerdy Dope Artist. What is that about? What made you choose nerdy? And what makes you consider yourself a nerd?
Listen, growing up, I was a very, very smart kid. I was always getting bumped up to different grades because I just felt like I needed more of a challenge with learning. I love math. I love English. I love just about every subject. So everybody knew me for as far as just doing everybody's homework, helping people with homework. Well, Kim, do you know how this is? What's the answer to this? So I was always the one that was into my books, into studying. I was the only kid probably to learn words over the summer when the teacher asked us to learn a new word. So I just felt like I was always considered the nerdy girl out of all my friends, or just somebody who was really into books. And as far as the artists and dope, you know, a lot of the responses I get with my work, people were like, oh my God, that's so dope. That's crazy. So I just kind of mixed it in and just created a name for social media.
I love it. So, you know, I'm going to have to put you to the test because I'm a self-proclaimed nerd as well. Right? Now, I go deep. So you can even see in my tattoos, let's see if you can see it. Like this right here is the standard model, the Lagrangian format of the standard model. This is in theoretical physics. So this tells you everything that we know about the universe. Since you said you like math, this is Euler's identity, which is the most beautiful math equation in the world because it's like the basis of all math types and
bigger nerd than me.
Oh, I go deep. I haven't told you everything. I love
algebra. I love all the equations, bro.
Let's go. I got it all. So we're going to have a separate conversation about the nerd stuff.
Right.
Okay, let's get it. Okay, now, what got you into art, though?
I really feel like it was not only a family thing, but it was kind of something that was already in my genes. Like, I'm always into, well, first of all, I used to love to fix things. I used to always try to figure out why this doesn't work. And then from there, seeing my mother and my grandfather's work in the past, looking through their sketchbooks, I'm like, you know what? If they can draw, well, why can't I? So I actually got into looking at magazines and seeing if I can transfer the things that I saw and put it onto a sketchbook. And from there, I started creating my own style, you know, as years passed. And I just love it. Like, I love creating. I love arts and crafts, not just only drawing, but painting, putting things together, sewing. So yeah, like that's just something I love to do. I love, you know, creating art.
So what you then did is took something that you're passionate about and made it into a business too.
Yes. Right?
And that's a key thing for everybody to remember because, okay, I get a lot of people that come to me and they're like, oh, Bees, I'm tired of my job. I wanna, you know, start my own thing, but I don't know what to get into. And a lot of times they'll say, yeah, I just wanna follow my passion. So I have to be honest to people and I say, listen, it's good to follow your passion. However, will your passion pay the bills?
Right.
And if not, maybe get into a business model that cash flows first and then use that to build out your passion.
Right.
Or on the flip side, if you acquire a business and you could acquire something that you're passionate about because it already got the cash flow, it already got the customers, it already did all of the legwork for you. Right. But you took the road that is a little bit more challenging, right? But I could imagine how rewarding it is. So how did you shift from passion to making it into an actual business?
Well, to be honest with you, I knew I could make money from what I was learning to be good at when I was in elementary school. Ooh. I used to always draw on my notebook and stuff like that. And I used to walk around stunting on everybody with my little anime cartoons on my notebook. I used to switch the papers out just to have a new design on my notebook every day. And from there, people would actually ask me like, oh, could you draw that for me? I'll pay you $5 or a couple dollars here and there to draw that for my notebook. And from there, I was like, you know what? As a kid, I was already, you know, hustling as a little kid, trying to figure out ways to make a couple dollars just to spend it on candy. So I was like, you know what? While I'm in class, I can just draw people's pictures, draw their favorite cartoons, and they'll pay me for it. And growing up, the older I got, even doing hair, I do hair as well. So just any little thing that I can do, I promoted it, of course, with myself. People saw it and was like, well, I'll pay you to do that for me. And ever since then, that just been something I figured, you know what? I really didn't become a full, you know, LLC until like 2018. But before then, I was already building some type of income and, you know, all for the things that I love to do, which is pretty dope.
Nice, nice. And did you grow up in Georgia too?
I actually, this is funny. My parents were not in the military, but we moved around a lot. But I was born in Clayton County, Georgia. I was up until the age of four. We moved to New York. And then I grew up a lot of my time in D.C. and in South Carolina.
Okay. Which part of New York?
Manhattan. And they hated it. My parents hated New York. They hated the city.
They really did. I was born in Jamaica, but then I moved from Jamaica to Brooklyn, New York.
That's crazy! Like, and my dad is from Trinidad and Tobago.
True.
He moved to Maryland as well. Yeah.
Here we go. We all over the place. Okay. So, all right, cool. So now you made it into an actual business, full fledged. You're focused on it. It's growing. Mm-hmm. How has that been for you so far, especially? The impression or the misimpression, I should say, that people would have about art is, there's no way to really make that much money on it in it unless, it's few and far in between. You sell a painting for a lot, but you may only sell one of those a quarter or something like that.
I know.
Is that really how it is for you too?
Sometimes. I know when I was really, before I was actually official as a business, I was selling more of my art because at first my art was really cheap. I wasn't selling it at the scale that I felt like I needed to sell it. And I didn't have a website either. And I was still trying to figure out the shipping process. And it's kind of funny, fun fact, I used to work for the post office before I became a full-time entrepreneur. And learning that actually help with my business as well, learning how to ship things and actually expand my business instead of just locally selling art. So I just feel like it's crazy to see how, I don't know, it just came naturally in a way. It's kind of weird to explain, but just knowing what you can do and actually expand it is just an amazing feeling, I should say.
Definitely, I can imagine, right? And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking to myself, okay, so now, what are the typical things that you do to get into it? It's one thing to have the background and the skill to be an artist, but what do you do to then make that into a business as an entrepreneur? Other than, hey, I'm just listing my paintings and stuff online or something, Shopify. What else do you do?
Well, there's this thing called social media.
There we go.
At first, I was mostly on Instagram and I was only posting my art, just the full blown final production of it. I wasn't showing any progression pictures, anything, just the main pictures. I never show my face. And even when I started my social media, a lot of guys thought that I was a boy. They just assumed showing your face. I was creating. I was doing a lot of anime, a lot of stuff that I guess.
Quote, whoa, wait! Stop! You do anime too?
I like all kinds of art, so I do dabble in that type of art as well. Yeah.
Oh, okay, keep going. We're going to come back to that. I need to know what's your favorite anime. I need to know what you've done.
Right. So I just did different types of things, and everybody assumed that I was a boy, and I just really had a large fan base of men in the beginning. I mean, women like my work too. I did a various amount of different subjects, but just posting on social media, of course, kind of drew people in to realize what I did. But then it also converted into, oh, if you can draw this person, can you draw this for me? Like I said, it kind of reverted back to elementary school. I'm showing them what I'm doing, enjoying it, minding my business, not really promoting it necessarily. Yeah. But just showing my work actually brought customers in. Like, well, if she can do this type of stuff, I wonder if she can draw this for me and I'll pay her for it, which kind of generated income that way without me even purposely, you know, promoting or saying, please buy my artwork out of desperation. Because, you know, most of us are considered starving artists and we really want to sell our work. But at in this point, in the beginning of my Instagram and my social media journey, it was just more so putting my work out there and starting a portfolio online. So, yeah.
So, and you didn't specifically say this, but I thought this is where you were going to go. Mm-mm. Did you say that you would show your work, meaning show as you were painting too, not just show the finished?
I started that later on. Once once reels and like the short term videos started popping off on social media, that's when I kind of reverted to Facebook. Facebook, I started doing small videos and learning how to edit so I can do time-lapse videos to kind of shorten it up because, you know, everybody's, you know, attention span is very short these days. So my videos started getting shorter and shorter in order to show everyone, like, from start to finish how I draw the pictures that I draw. So I did different subjects, tried to see what type of audience I was luring in. But also, I was still having fun at the time. I really wasn't thinking business-wise, but I was still showing, look, this is what I can do. Some people even questioned whether I was creating these pieces. So being able to show them that I'm physically drawing this and this is the finished product kind of built a following from that as well, and which led to also monetization on my Facebook page as well. So that really got me more into creating more videos that way.
There we go. And that's an important tip for everybody that's listening. Yes. Listen, I mean, monetization on social media, using social media, but also showing people your work. Being able, were you doing it like a time lapse as you're painting and stuff like that? Yeah, that's awesome. That just draws people in just to be like, oh, wow. Even if they don't become a customer, even if they don't.
Right, it's entertainment.
It's entertainment. They love seeing that. And now they become, if they maybe they're not a customer immediately, but they become a follower, and maybe if they're following and watching enough, eventually they're like, oh, hold up, she does anime too, wait a minute.
That's exactly how my Facebook has grown. Like, people just follow me based off of the things that I painted. I know that before I was even introduced to the Reels program, I made within a week over 50,000 plays from painting a birdhouse, and I've never painted a birdhouse before. Ever. Just trying different things. And I was like, oh, okay, people like birdhouses. Let me go find another birdhouse to paint, or let me see what else I can bring in and intrigue everyone with to show them that I have a range when it comes to my art and what I like to paint on.
Awesome. Awesome. I saw this, it was like a news clip or something. It was a guy that's, I think, in the Bronx in New York. And he would always be like on the train and sitting across people on a train ride.
Draw them. I love his work. Yeah.
You saw, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then he got such notoriety from it because it's so lifelike and everything. And he do it in such a quick time. So they brought him on the news and all of that. And, you know, people would be surprised how something that can be a passion can blow up if you just follow certain, you know, steps. It involves some luck too. You got to be, you know, a little bit of luck.
Yeah.
The right place at the right time type of thing. But it could definitely be done. Nobody should feel that you can't follow your passion.
Right.
Awesome. Awesome. So, okay, the most important question. The most important question of tonight. What's your favorite anime?
Oh, my gosh. I really don't have a favorite one.
What's the favorite character that you've drawn? Anime character that you've drawn?
Like, I love Canary. I just like black anime. I just like seeing anime that kind of represents me and what I look like. And I just love anime that makes you think as well. Like, oh, it's just so many. But all in all, just that fantasy world and just seeing the creativity in other people's work with anime is just amazing. And being able to replicate that into my own style just makes me feel dope, because that is just a lost art that a lot of people kind of ignore with anime. They think, oh, it's just a cartoon. But I'm like, anime has a lot of really dope artwork in it.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout the scenes, throughout the characters, everything.
You ever heard of Afro Samurai?
Yes, and I draw him a lot.
Oh, I gotta see those. I can't wait. I'll give you one more challenge. I'm sure you probably heard of Naruto. It's one of the more popular ones and all. That ninja one. In Naruto, there's Killer Bee.
Yeah.
Black guy with like dreads and whatnot. I draw on him one day. I'd love to see that. I'll buy that one. All right. So now I kind of touched on this when we had our pre-talk, right? We were talking about acquisitions and how you can buy a business, you can acquire a business. Mm-hmm. First of all, I gotta give you book recommendation. This is one of my favorite books. Why Should White Guys Have All the Fun?
Okay.
Tells the story of this guy, Reginald Lewis, who is one of the first black billionaires of modern times, right? And nobody knows him. Most people, have you ever heard of him?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So the irony is that nobody knows him. And I think it's because it's not sexy. He didn't, you know, he's not a Jay-Z and, you know, good library of music plus acquired. Mm-hmm. And remember, Jay-Z didn't become a billionaire from just his music. He also acquired stake in different companies and such. So this guy, Reginald Lewis, he became a billionaire from business acquisitions using leverage buyouts, which is what I was explaining to you, right? Leverage buyouts are ways that you could buy a business with no money, with no credit. The money doesn't come from you. It doesn't come out of your pocket. It is leveraged debt in the business in order for you to acquire it. Now you're getting the cash flow of the business.
Okay.
So in one of my companies, Capital B's, it's a business of acquiring businesses. We just consistently are acquiring businesses either for myself or for clients, right? I came across, I'm not going to tell you where, but I'm just going to tell you about it and see what your thoughts are. I came across an art gallery for sale. This art gallery business for sale had, I think it was 20 plus years old, something like that. I think it was doing over $3 million in revenue, right? So now you get to see consistent growth. You see a venue that you may think, oh man, it's hard to start an art gallery, but and when that, if I tell you the later what location, I'm not gonna say it on air, but I'll tell you later what location. When I tell you that location, you're gonna be like, really? And they making that type of money? Well, hey, you get to see their tax returns, you get to see their P&Ls, you get to see everything, and you get to know what you're about to get yourself into, rather than starting from scratch and gotta, you know, struggle to get there. You know what I mean? Would you be interested in acquiring something like an art gallery?
Of course. I've actually thought about acquiring something kind of similar to that in like the metaverse. Like I thought to myself, like if I'm going to be selling NFTs and putting my artwork out there in the digital world, why not acquire a space where I can put that in when people are traveling through the metaverse?
Yes. That's foresight.
On. Yeah.
I love that. Because people sleeping on the metaverse for sure. I mean,
yes, I can't sleep on that too. Legs.
But it's highly feasible that in 10, 20 years, that's the normal medium. That's what people are using more than just going on the internet and on websites. They logging into the metaverse. You ever saw that movie, or is it called Ready Player One? You ever saw that one?
It sounds familiar, but there's so many movies that already kind of, even a movie with Bruce Willis, where everybody's somebody different in the digital world, which is kind of weird, but it looks so real. But it's just crazy what you can be and what you can actually create and start over in this world.
That
I still want to be who I am, but you know, it's just so many opportunities there as well.
That is true, definitely. Okay, so now it's time that we get into our pop segment. It's time for us to pop the art in entrepreneurship, right? So we got to talk about pros. If somebody wants to follow this path, they got talent too. Now they want to make a business of their passion. What are the pros of doing it? What are the opportunities that exist in the industry that you may want to consider doing this soon, because these opportunities are coming up? And most importantly, what are the problems that you have to navigate around? So let's start with the pros. Tell me a little bit more about that.
All right. I would say the pros is, especially now that I'm doing this full time, you really can do whatever you want to do with what you love to do. I never thought I'd see the day where I can actually get up and say, you know what? What do I feel like drawing today? Like, what do I feel like creating today without the stresses of going to a job and doing something that I really do not want to do? I feel like if you genuinely love art and you love creating, and there's going to be moments out of your day where you can't stop thinking about art or what you're going to create or what you want to do, then that is definitely a huge pro. It may not necessarily be your passion, but even just something that you're good at and enjoying doing that makes you happy is a pro to me. Just
nice. I love that. Yeah, that's true, because it's so like fulfilling or you know, freeing. Yes. When you do something like that, something that you love doing, and it's like, oh, I wake up like, what am I going to draw today instead of what somebody told me I have to draw? So I love that. I love that. But okay, so, but what are the opportunities that are coming into play right now, the opportunities that exist or are coming up, why somebody should get into this realm?
Opportunities are honestly endless. That's why I feel like going into the different ventures I'm going into can open up opportunities as well. Like, even when I moved to Atlanta, I realized the moment I started displaying my work, a lot of people kept reaching out to me, wanting me to be a vendor or just display my work at their galleries, display my work at their art craft events. And it really allowed me to get more exposure as well. So definitely exposure is one. Also contracts, other different, you know, opportunities with commissions, and just building more of a community with the people that love your work and also being able to sell to them as well.
Definite exposure. I mean, look at how I'm telling, I have nothing to do with the art world other than that one art gallery I found.
Right.
I saw that guy on the subway and whatnot, and you knew immediately who I'm talking about. He got exposure just from his art. Right. So you're 100% right on that. Definitely something. And you could use that to lead into something else too. Getting that exposure to get down, you know, other paths. So yes, definitely important to have that. But more importantly, the most important thing, what are the problems that exist in this realm and how do you navigate around them?
The problems, I wouldn't necessarily see this as a problem, but a lot of artists see this as a problem, is how broad the community of art is. And everybody has their own perspective of what art is. And trying to actually maneuver through that without losing yourself as a creative. A lot of people get discouraged. Social media could be one of the reasons why. But I try not to allow those things to deter me from continuing to be the creator that I am. Because as you can see behind me, like, my work is different. It may not be like everybody else's, but that is okay. And also another problem is trying to separate the business side from the art side sometimes, because you can get so caught in the business part that you forget that you're an artist, and you lose that creativity, and then you're just so focused on the business instead of actually just being free to create and do what you love doing.
How have you mitigated that, right? So that you keep that balance of the business side, because we got to make money too.
Yes.
The art side and the passion. How have you balanced that?
Honestly, being very disciplined. I know for me, I'm better creating at night, in the evening. Mm-hmm. And in the daytime, I'm like, you know what? Since I'm not really as creative in the morning, I'm still trying to wake up. I'm not necessarily a big morning person. So I mostly focus on, you know, putting things in my Excel as far as typing up my paperwork, getting things ready for taxes, making sure I have all my documents in play. You know, if I need to tweak a contract with somebody, if I'm doing commissions, just making sure I get all the paperwork, all the computer work, set it to the side, get it done, and then make way for my creativity when I'm done with all that type of stuff. So business first, get it out the way, and then my creativity, because that's, of course, the easiest thing that I can get done and do.
Now, that's advice no matter what industry you're in right there. Mm-hmm. Scheduling, right? Yes. You say, okay, I know my strengths are better here at this time of the day.
Yes.
Let me do these tasks during this day or during this time. Let me do these other tasks during this other time. And that, you know, keeps you on pace and keeps you most productive.
Yes.
So, yeah, I love that. That's across the board. That's not just art. Everybody needs to do that for sure.
Yes.
So, when you meet people and you're talking about, you know, everybody always starts off with, oh, so what do you do? How do you explain to them what you do overall?
I'm be like, look, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm still an artist, but honestly, my artistic abilities has led me to other business moves, which ironically, of course, still has my art involved. Like I said, I still do hair on the side. I have a lot of different side hustles, so I don't just necessarily want to just be labeled only an artist, because I do so many different things. And even now I want to add the label of fashion designer later down the line, because I've been creating clothing, hand painted items. So now I'm venturing into a whole nother world as well. And it's like, you know, I just feel like it's fun to me. I don't necessarily want to be just quote unquote a business person. I'm just doing a whole bunch of different things that I love to do that, as a blessing, generate some type of income. So yeah, that's basically all I'm about. That's what I love doing. And probably in a year or so, you're going to hear me doing something totally different. Like you said, I'm not stagnant in what I do. I'm still going to be doing those things that I love, but there's always room for growth.
Well, then you're in the perfect place, because I'm going to be pushing you for acquisitions, right? So there's a thing called vertical integration and horizontal integration, right?
Okay.
On another episode where we were talking about trucking, we were saying, okay, if you have a trucking company, horizontal integration, I'm gonna acquire another trucking company, and then that grows my fleet, right?
Okay.
Vertical integration says, okay, I'm gonna acquire the ships that carry the stuff on the sea when the trucks come and pick it up. Now I own that whole lane. And I got the trucks running, and then I can also have other trucks that's going to be, doing some of the work for me, and I'm getting paid off of it, right? In your world, when it comes to art, what would you see as something for vertical integration? Something that is like at a different part of the supply chain of what you do that you could possibly acquire to help build up your business even more, putting you on the spot.
I know, right? And you know what's crazy? I was saying to myself, where could I get my supplies from so I can actually generate my own, you know, clothing line and fashion line? So as far as the bags, since that's the first thing I started getting into, like, where would my supply of bags come from? And exactly who is the main person that'll be perfect for that, especially if I want a bag that's going to be different from every other bag, on top of the fact that I'm creating art on that bag that's going to be different from everybody else's design. So that's where I would definitely start off first, because it'll be easier for me, for one, and then I won't have to worry about looking for bags, because I did start off upcycling bags from like Goodwill and thrift shops and things like that. But now that I'm more serious about it, I definitely want to get into getting that whole line of bags where I know I can get to it, because when it starts to grow bigger and bigger with my company, I know I won't have any issues later down the line.
I love that. All right. So one of the things I tell people is that you should acquire a business that you're doing or using already.
Right.
I know this one guy, he's like, okay, I use dry cleaners all the time, so I acquired a dry cleaning company. I got a pest control, people coming all the time, let me acquire a pest control company.
Acquire what you need.
And you're basically saying, hey, I gotta, every month I'm buying a bunch of supplies in order for my business to run. What if I acquired that company that was a supplier? Now I got that part of the chain. Plus I could market to other artists, and I know what those other artists want, because I am one of them, right? So it makes you even more powerful overall in your empire. I love
that. That's really good, yeah.
Nice. So do you feel, what's in store for you going forward now? Like, what's the next step, the next level in your art empire and your entrepreneurship life related to art?
Well, like I stated before, definitely fashion. I just love clothing. I love different clothing, and no shade to other designers out there that people just draw into off the top. But like we spoke about before, I would rather start wearing my own. And the best way to even promote the things that I've been doing was actually displaying the things that I would actually have on my bag, or actually have on my shoes or my jacket. So why not constantly promote that? So that's a big reason why I want to kind of get this started and get it moving. So I can start, you know, of course, promoting my own things and actually showing it to the world that way. And then also getting into the NFT world, getting into, like I said, I'm looking for land and digital property, so I can actually have my art gallery in that world as well.
Ooh, nice, nice. Definitely. You're on the forefront of the next generation, the next wave. That's definitely important. Now, you mentioned that you also do hair. Have you merged the art with hair? Because I could imagine like you creating some hairstyles that can be, you know, looked at as art, and you start taking pictures of that. Would you merge those together, or do you keep that completely separate?
I kind of keep it separate, but I actually thought about getting into hair design as well, because I've always been fascinated with Bronner Brothers, and they've had different hair shows and different styles with hair. And I have locks, and I've seen the most amazing sculptures with hair as far as locks and just different braids and things of that nature. And I can see myself, like I said, there is no limit to what I would love to do. Long as I build up the things that I need to build up, so I don't have to not necessarily worry about it, but focus on it as much, then I can work on the next things that I love to do creatively and get into that as well.
Nice. I love it. I love it. So, okay. I got to say that there's three ways that I promote. I can't think of many others of true ways to create wealth, right? Mm-hmm. One of them is real estate.
Okay.
That's tried and true. You got to get real estate. The other is the financial markets. Right before we got on this call, and this is going to let people know exactly when this is being recorded, but I just was listening to Bloomberg TV, and the Fed announced another 75 basis point rate hike for interest rate. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, okay, the markets are going to drop more. It's a perfect time to scoop up more of the blue chip stocks on a discount. Because they're going to rise again in the future.
Of course.
So that second path of creating wealth is the financial markets, stocks, Forex, crypto, anything like that. Mm-hmm. But the third way of creating wealth is owning a business. Whether you build it or buy it, both work. I just promote buying them because they're, you know, you're skipping steps. You get a head start. Most businesses fail in the first 5 years, over 80%, right? Most businesses don't even make it to seven figures, less than 5% make it to seven figures. So now imagine if you acquired a business that's 20 years old, already making $2-3 million, and you're able to do it with no money out of your pocket. Now you're jumping into wealth creation, true wealth creation. I'm talking about the Warren Buffetts and the Elon Musk and all of them. That's what they do, acquiring stuff. Basically. Elon acquired Twitter because it's media. Don't get it twisted. People feel, oh, why would he spend so much money on Twitter? Well, he didn't spend all of it. He also leveraged some of it in the business. He did an LBO also, but he also had to come up with some because of the court case. That's a different story. But right. Media is incredibly important. For example, Disney didn't become the powerhouse they are just from the parks. It's from the media that they acquired in the last 20 years. All ESPN, right. ABC, Marvel, all of that. What do you feel is the best? Well, you might say social media. As I'm asking the question, I know you're going to go there. But what is, besides social media, is there anything else that you would say is the best media related to art, the art world, that's important for you to have as a platform?
Oh, man. On the spot.
That's my goal. For just
I mean, honestly, I've seen artists, especially doing things locally and, you know, in the community, doing a lot of community work. I've seen artists actually get direct news attention as well from what they do. Sometimes it really does depend on who's watching. Like we said before, like it really just depends on, you know, where you at and at the right time, the right place type thing. But I feel like the basic news media is still relevant into helping, you know, people get the platform that they need and getting the attention that they need as well, whether it's good or bad, because, you know, the media can go both ways. That's with people. True. But as far as publicly, I mean, the only other thing I can think of is like email marketing is still relevant and bringing that attention to different platforms and different things that people want, you know, your audience to see. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the only thing I can really think of off the top of my head.
When it comes to things like the art gallery, like we mentioned, would you say that that's more regionalized? Like, yeah, art galleries still do great in New York, in the Northeast, in the South. Would you say that's regionalized or no? Across the board, it can still do great no matter what.
And that's kind of back to, you know, promotion. Like, I follow a lot of art galleries, and there's some that are just known for the type of art and the artist work that they have in their galleries to where they don't really have to promote. And then there's others that really need to promote a lot to get more people to know that this is the type of artwork we have in our gallery. Mm-hmm. So it really just depends on who, what, and where it is sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I'm slowly getting into the art gallery world because I'm more so on social media, but I've had my artwork in a few galleries here and there. And I can honestly say it is so much easier to do it from home. It's a good thing to still get your recognition because there's a lot of big famous artists that are still doing that now. And whatever works for them works for them. But as far as the millennials like me and just people who are just so used to social media, it's just easy to kind of do directly to the consumer because people actually like that personal, you know, relationship with the artist when they're online.
Nice. And that's important too, right? That personal relationship. One of my key components of success is networking. And it's the same thing in business. You got to have those relationships in order to, you know, continue to scale and 10X your revenue and everything. So we on the same page for sure. Now, got to explain my $1 trillion table challenge. So I told you earlier about three main ways of creating wealth, and it was leading up to this. Now, knowing that those are the three main ways of creating like true wealth, I created something called the $1 trillion table challenge. That is a challenge, you know, we ain't doing the Tide Pod challenge and all them stuff that they was doing on social media or whatnot. We're doing a real challenge here.
Okay.
We're in 2022, about to be 2023. At the end of this decade, so that's ample time, the end of this decade, I want to sit in a room at a table with people that look like us, and we have $1 trillion AUM, assets under management. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean $1 trillion in my pocket. If I have a company, let's say I acquired that art gallery that I mentioned, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say they're doing $10 million in revenue, but they're only keeping profit of $1 million. You may say, oh, that's a bad profit margin. But when you have a business that's doing cycling $10 million through it, the banks are going to give you even more money. Because they're like, oh, cool, you're a stable
business. They know that they're bringing that money in.
There we go. So assets under management means I'm going to have a portfolio of businesses, of real estate, of financial markets that I manage. And that's my assets. That's my net worth. And I want to sit in a room at a table with a bunch of people who are all doing that type of thing, building true net worth, true wealth. And we have this huge collective $1 trillion AUM. Will you be at that table?
Of course.
Ah, there we go. I'm waiting for one day I ask somebody and they say, nah, I don't think so. I want to see if that ever happens. I
understand the value of it. I feel like when it comes to business, a lot of people don't really jump to those opportunities because they don't understand it. They haven't really learned it, sat down and researched it fully. They just think, oh, it's just another person trying to teach me how to do something. They're not really gonna. It's like, if you actually pay attention, it's a lot of valuable information that a lot of people are doing now. And you wonder how they're living their lives without having to work or do anything else other than just be there for their families and take care of, you know, their life.
Yep. Yep. 100%. And another thing I say too, which is related to what you just said, I say that I don't do or teach plays. I feel that in our community, a lot of times we'd be like, yo, I got a new play. We could do this and we can make a quick buck. Nah, I'm not trying to run no play. I'm not trying to do nothing because plays get played out. Plays are not sustainable. Mm-hmm. By definition, saying, hey, I got this new play. I'm going to run this. That's going to get played out. I want a sustainable strategy. This is why I got into the world of mergers and acquisitions, because the ultra wealthy have been doing it for generations using, like I told you with this book, using this method of leverage buyouts. They've been doing it for generations. This will not change. There's a saying that whenever black people start finding out stuff, then they change up the rules. I don't know if you ever heard that, but I've heard many people say that. This won't happen, because if they ever change the rules and say, hey, B's been buying too many businesses, we can't let that happen no more. They go, Warren Buffett, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, they all going to fight that battle for me. I don't got to do nothing. because they're not going to let it change because it's what they do too. So right. These are the type of strategies that we also want to try to implement. Things that we see have been going on for generations. It's not somebody that just came up with an idea and said, hey, I could do this and you should do it and pay me to teach you to do it, right? And it's something that is sustainable, won't go away. All right, so I agree with you 100%. I'm looking forward to seeing you buy businesses, maybe an art gallery too.
Yes. But
I'm going to leave you with one last tip. There's something called $0 traffic assets. Did you know the same way that you buy a business, you could acquire a TikTok account or an Instagram page?
I've heard of that.
YouTube channel or a Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're not buying it in the traditional sense because Facebook still owns that group. You're just acquiring the administrative rights from someone else. Mm-hmm. So imagine you found a Facebook group of artists, right? And there's 100,000 artists in there or art enthusiasts in there, not artists themselves, but art enthusiasts. And they just love coming in there because they like to share different art that they found and they're looking to buy it. Instead of going and running Facebook ads for your business, if you acquire the rights to that group, you have 100,000 people right there in front of you that are your actual ideal client profile for you to market directly to them.
And market, I did that.
That mean paying ads. That just means, hey, look, that's it. Is that something that you would do too?
I've already been doing that. Let me tell you something.
Oh, there we go.
I'm an admin of 2 different art groups and a moderator in another one. But the other groups that I've actually joined, because I do so many different things, I've joined groups pertaining to the different things that I do. So in the Goodwill Fanatics group, and they have over 200,000 members, I've actually gotten lots of sales just off of promoting in that group, showing them the before bag that I've upcycled and showing them what I painted and turned it into. And from there, I have people that have followed my Reels page and followed my business page because I post so much in there promoting my work, just showing it for fun, like I've always done. But at the same time, letting them know, like, look what I can do. If you like it, you know, you can hit me up doing posts, asking them what type of bags would you prefer me to do? What type of pictures you would like me to paint on these bags to actually get them more engaged with me and also see what type of bags they would like to build more customers within that group as well. So I've done that with different groups, even with the birdhouse I painted. I've built, you know, a friendship and, you know, kind of like a bond with the people in that group as well, because I do plan on painting more birdhouses since it's got so much reaction in the past. So every little thing that I do, I promote in those groups and show the different things that I'm capable of, which also, even though they're looking for, you know, a bag or they're looking for this, they still see other things that I do, which can also build traffic to my website as well for the other things. Like, oh, she do this too. Let me go check out her page. Let me check out her website. You know what I'm saying? So
there you go.
I feel like not just being social, playing around on social media, but actually doing what I love to do, still socializing, but in a business format to where it's like, okay, you like what I'm doing? Let me send you my website. Let me show you my portfolio. And it kind of just all ties in together, basically.
You're being intentional instead of just social. I love that. There we go. And that first group that you mentioned, the one that said, I think you said had over 200,000 followers.
Yes.
Are you an admin in there yet?
No, but
would you like to be?
I don't know. Like,
you don't know.
I do so many different things. Sometimes I'm not always active in that group. I do post my videos a lot because, you know, I'm still a part of the Reels program. So I'm re-uploading certain videos that they may not have seen or new people that don't know me haven't seen.
Yeah.
But until I actually can build a system, like I said, being disciplined, I have to really build a system and a schedule for every platform that I'm working on. So I won't forget to continuously post and remind them that I'm still in here. I'm still doing what I do. But the admin, she knows who I am. She's very nice. She allows me to post links because some groups do not allow you to post links or send your website because of spam, possibly. But she knows I'm legit. So I can see myself actually linking up with her and saying, hey, you know, if you don't mind me having, you know, giving you some help as far as, you know, letting certain posts through and also allowing me to post certain things as well, then I can definitely see myself doing that.
when I'm talking even a step further. So that's one step. And I'm going to, after this, we're going to talk some more. And I'm going to, if you want to know a path, a strategy to actually fully acquire that group, you start off by becoming that admin and helping.
Right.
But eventually you get the rights turned over completely to you where you're the sole admin.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying you got to work in it and do stuff regularly. You could do other things. You just have a group of 200,000 people that you could decide what you want to push your stuff to and create revenue from. We got to talk about this later, but I'm glad that you're already familiar with it. But Kim, listen, it's been a great conversation. You've opened up my eyes to a whole nother world. Thank you so much for being our guest on Entrepreneurship Exposed. Tell the people again where they can find you. Best way to tap in with you.
Well, I'm just about everywhere. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Facebook, Instagram. I have recently started a YouTube channel. I've had it for a while, but now I'm kind of getting into the groove of it as well. So I'm on all those platforms, the same name, Nerdy Dope Artists. And yeah, check me out.
Let's go. And hopefully one day I'm going to see you maybe in the BBI. learning to acquire businesses too.
Got you, yes.
And we're going to get you that Facebook group. We're going to get it. All right, everybody. It's been another episode of Entrepreneurship Exposed with Kimberly Lori King. And Nerdy Dope Artist is definitely dope. So make sure y'all are tapping in with her. Make sure you like and subscribe to this video, to this channel. Make sure that you don't miss all of the great content coming on every episode. And it's me, your guy Bees. I'll see you soon. Make sure you're out there buying businesses. Let's go. Bye, Kim.
Bye.